what you also brought to the table was what was going on the earth, so that we could see it in one week how much has been going on the planet, and it just blew my mind.
Well, I have to admit, there's still all that going on. We are going through some turmoil when it comes to our Earth changes right now, and the Earth is shaking. There's some birth pains going on inside, but I still think we got a long time till we really should be worried about it. But I do still cover. I will bring people on to cover what's going cosmically, and I believe it's something to do with our sun, not necessarily a planet. I think it's a solar change thing, or a shift in the energetic kind of area of the galaxy we're heading towards. Could be that too. That's just thoughts at the moment.
One thing we can be sure of is that the powers that be on Earth, whether it's government, science, medicine, and they're all a bunch of flipping liars, you can't believe anything they say. So if they say, oh no, that's not true, it might be true. So as your show evolved, I just got so much out of it, but I noticed you turned into another, not a new direction, but you sort of focused your direction when the 2020, for lack of a better term, I'll call it global shitstorm hit. Then you stopped doing the weather and stuff because you needed to be there for what was going on in society, medically.
Yes.
Politically, oh my God. Even 5 years ago, if anyone had told us what 2020 and 2021 would be like, we never would have believed it. And what a shitstorm we're in now, pardon my language. But what your show has done is kept a really good balance on keeping us aware of what's going on today, but also seeing the historical links. And so whether you have guests on that talk about megalithic structures, space weather, it could be anything. It all is relevant and ties in. And I just appreciate your show so, so much. And like I said, I wouldn't be here today because, you keep looking and looking and looking and you get discouraged sometimes. You just want to throw the whole thing out and do something else. But I've had a strong calling. I know you've had a strong calling. So my next question is, I know you've had a lot of guests on your shows, and I know one guest is not superior to another guest, but I have to ask you, which of your guests inspired you the most? And what can you tell us about their message? So who really hit you in the sweet spot, really inspired you out of all your guests?
Wow. Oh, man. I couldn't name a single one because so many have, and so many have gotten my mind thinking in a different way. I mean, it would be even unfair to myself to single out someone because I know the great knowledge, because where I am now, I owe completely to all my guests and their knowledge and what I've learned from them. I read books. I do out my own research, but the amazing people that I've talked to for hours and hours, and not just on my show, aside from my show, I talk to these people. I've gone to conferences. I've had long, sit-down dinners and sessions with a lot of these people. So that's the toughest question that I think I've ever had, because I don't think I could single out anyone. There's people that I really admire for their body of work and how long they've been doing this and not giving up. From, all the criticism and everything going on. I mean, look, you can criticize David Icke as much as you want, but he's still here and he is still bringing spitfire to the table. He is still bringing what a lot of people are knowing now is truth. He was saying it a long time ago. You have to give it to the man. He was kicked in the nuts a long time ago, and he came back, and he's still doing it. He's still bringing out the truth, whether you believe everything about reptilians or not. I don't believe everything the man's saying, but hell, a lot of that shit came true. So, I do respect that. Jordan Maxwell, amazing man, been in this for so many years, brought so much information. That's another, one of the all-time greats. You know, Jacques Vallée, I have not interviewed him, no, but he is, you know, real one of my favorite UFO researchers. He's changed the field by bringing consciousness and this metaphysical sense to everything. So, Jacques, if you ever hear this, please, I'd love to have you on the show. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people that I just respect more than anything, and I owe them everything for giving me this knowledge about what's really going on, you know?
Absolutely. You know, another person who I discovered on your show was Matthew LaCroix,
and
incredible information he has about the megalithic stones. Now, what you've done is you've brought people who really understand the matrix and do their best to present that to us so we can wake up. But then there are other people like Matthew who brings the furthest distance past that I never even dreamed was possible to reality, and how that also plays into the matrix. All roads seem to lead to Rome in exposing the society that we live in. And like, for instance, I'm completely convinced that our history was fully constructed and quite recently, so that what really happened, like, for instance, the mud floods and stuff like that, 16, 1700s, nobody talks about that. They had free energy that close to us, but no, they shut all that down to bring in the wires and the overhead high tension lines. I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but I'm just trying to say that how everybody that you've had on your shows, everybody that I have found through you, has given us a different piece of the puzzle, another component that's not only fascinating and interesting and makes sense and is well researched, but it also all fits together so that we can get a better sense of why we're here and what our unique part is in this great pantomime or play that we're involved in. And so I really, really appreciate that. Were you going to say something about Matthew?
I was, because when you brought him up, it immediately made me think about how profound the research he's done. And, you know, he was one of my earliest guests. He was so kind enough to want to come on my show and give like a 2-hour presentation with me. He was like maybe my third or fourth guest that I ever had. He's a great guy. Now he's one of my neighbors. He's living here in Colorado. We have yet to hang out together, but he keeps saying, he promises. I know he's a busy guy. He just got a job at Gaia. But Matt, to me, is what Zachariah Sitchin should have been. He is the real deal. He brings these Sumerian mythos, even Egyptian, beyond all prehistory. I mean, the guy's got a 200,000-year timeline that he made. I mean, who does that? He's one of the most profound ancient history researchers that I know, and he's so young. He's going to be, imagine the work he's going to be doing 10, 15 years from now. He's going to be blowing it out of the water, and he already is. So, yeah, Matthew LaCroix is one of the best, and the check is in the mail to him, too.
And, you know, I just want to mention another guest. It's not that anyone is better than any other. They're all fantastic. But I got to tell you, I love what Preston Dennett has brought to the table as far as the ET world. He's very methodical, very accurate, very open-minded, and he makes room for all kinds of experiences. So I met him through watching your show is how I ended up meeting him too. So just there's so many valuable people. So I recommend, but another thing I love that you've done is you've gone on and now you've reproduced some of your older shows. We've got flashbacks to some of your guests in 2019, 2017, 2016, so we can get that really good stuff that maybe we've forgotten about, because it was relevant then, but it's relevant in a new way today. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And I started doing that because I was looking through some of my back catalogs, and I was like, man, nobody does podcast reruns. And a lot of this stuff is still relevant. A lot of these guests have been very prophetic in what we've discussed, and a lot of the stuff has come to fruition. So, man, I need to go back, bring these episodes back out as, you know, Forbidden Knowledge classics, and give, you know, show people this information again, give them a refresher of what we were talking about a few years ago and how prophetic it was and how much of it has actually come true and how accurate so many of my guests have been about predicting what is going to happen just based on their own research. I'm not talking about psychics. I'm talking about people who have done the work, done the research, looked into our false history, looked into the false flags, looked into government corruption, ufology, everything that we're seeing come through now. They were on top of it, and we talked about it, and those episodes are so profound, I had to bring those back to the table, and people are really loving that, and, you know, I get a lot of good response from that, and I'm glad, because the information's great, and I think that, you know, more people should do a little rerun if they've had, because I've heard some great guests from many podcasts in the past. In fact, that's how I got started doing this, and I'd love to hear them again, so, you know. Start doing reruns, yeah. People.
Oh, yeah. That's golden. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit because you're a very open-minded person. You've had all kinds of guests on your shows. But it's as my understanding that you didn't actually have any paranormal experiences yourself before last year. Is that true? And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that is true. I mean, I think it is because I don't remember necessarily anything strange or paranormal unless I blocked it out. I mean, I have like a lot of missing time from my childhood to like 12 or 13 years old. But I think a lot of people do. So, you know, I don't know if that's anything significant or not. But yeah, I was always curious about it, always searching for things. You know, I used to go to real haunted houses all the time. When I started doing the show, I even went on my own little paranormal investigation to the Myrtles Plantation, Louisiana. Still nothing. I mean, we caught a picture of what could have been a ghost, or it could have been some strange reflection. I mean, it was pretty good picture, but I didn't see it up in person, so I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what this is. And it wasn't till, like you said, last year. I forget what month it was. I think it was around summertime. It was when I was kind of getting out of a bad relationship. I was breaking up with one of my ex-girlfriends and going through a rough time. And I saw what I thought was like a UFO in the sky. And this is a long story, so I'm going to give you the cliff notes of everything that kind of happened.
Comfortable with this.
It's a 3-day thing or maybe 4-day thing that happened with this whole experience. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. But I saw these three flames in a triangular formation. You know, one here, two there. They're going straight up in the sky, and didn't appear to be too fast. Kind of just steady going up. And I was talking to somebody, and they were looking at me, and I was looking at this thing, and they didn't see any of it, and it all of a sudden just kind of stopped and stood there in midair for a second and took off, disappeared. It was gone within an instant. I couldn't really explain what it was, and I've never seen anything like it, so I just kept it in the, you know, interesting checkmark box there in the back of my mind, but I didn't really think about it after that. At the same time, I'm trying to do meditation. I'm trying to go deep into meditation practices because I had this block in meditation. I couldn't get past a certain point. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, really trying to do that. And one night I did. I really went past my blocking point in meditation, went as deep as I could. And I, to make a long story short, I kind of made contact with something. It was. It started out as this wonderful feeling of love and this emanating blue light coming into my consciousness, and it started speaking to me. And this is not like anything I've ever experienced. It was psychic instant communication. It would answer a question as soon as I would ask. It said hello. I was kind of freaked out for a while. I even went back to like Catholic childhood dogma. I was freaking out. I said, in the name of Christ, are you good? And it immediately love feeling yes. I said yes. And it was like so confident and made me feel so good about it. I was like, okay, well, let's have a conversation. So, you know, we start talking. It was the most profound experience I've ever had. It gave me a lot of information about myself, what was going on in the world, things that I needed to know basically to get me moving in the right direction. And you'll kind of see what I'm talking about there after the story ends, but I call you. You're the first one I call, Karen, immediately, because, you know, you're one of my favorite contactees. You've had some profound experiences, and I thought you might be able to help me understand it, and you did. And you also had a profound experience at that same time, which kind of linked up to mine, which was very interesting. If you want to tell them about what you saw at that time.
Okay, I'll try not to make too much about me, but basically what happened is you had called me in the afternoon, late afternoon, and told me about this experience, but you were quite shaken by it because it was quite something. And I said to you, you know, spend some time making yourself as comfortable as possible, give it overnight, and then tomorrow let's talk about it in more detail once things have sort of settled for you. So I go to bed that night, and I have a lot of my contact happens while I'm sleeping. I know people would say, well, how do you know it's not just a dream? Well, I don't always know, to be honest. You know, it's quite something. Anyway, in my dream, I saw Chris talking to some very tall blue guy. He was bald, had a long neck. And we were on board a craft, and they were just intensely communicating, not verbally, but like psychically connected and communicating. And I went, oh my gosh. And so the next day, I talked to Chris, and I said, Chris, what did he look like? And Chris, I think you said, well, I'm not really sure, because it was sort of an etheric.
Yeah, well, I couldn't, that night I didn't see anything except this blue, just bright, beautiful blue light. I couldn't make out any shapes or what this being looked like. It was a combination of this blue light and this amazing feeling of love and acceptance. And it was like, it was kind of, the only way I can describe it is like the most craziest drug I've ever been on, but it was just like a love drug. You know, I love my parents this way. I thought, you know, I love, yeah. But this is beyond anything that I've experienced when it comes to this love feeling and acceptance and just at ease and peace. It was a, you know, amazing feeling, but that's all I saw and sensed on that.
Yeah, so then I talked to you the next day, and then I decided, well, I asked you, did you see a blue guy? And you said, well, not really. It was more a blue light and, you know, what you've just told us now. And so I decided to do some research about blue ETs, and I found, I don't know why, just really the closest I could find to what I had seen, right? And I sent the pictures to you, and you said, one of them, you said, was very close, although your experience was more etheric and, or, you know, kind of.
Well, yeah, as it went on, I got more of an image of this being. Well, it was 2 days later. The next day, I wanted to have repeat this experience because I still didn't believe it all the way. I couldn't, you know, I was like, did this really happen? What's going on? Was just me having a hallucination? I don't know. It was pretty profound, but I wanted to have it again just to kind of solidify that this is real. I was experiencing this. So I tried the meditation again, and I was just kind of frustrated. I guess I was trying to push it too hard, and then it didn't work. And then the next day, it did. I did this again, deep meditation. Something was telling me to meditate in the tub for some reason. So I did. I went and laid down and put on some, like, tones, 432 hertz tones. It was in warm bath, and man, I went quick into a deep meditation. This time I went like to a childhood memory that I had blocked out. It was very strange. I uncovered this traumatic event that happened early in my childhood, and I was like, what the hell's going on? Because it was, you know, it was like a very good memory, but I was like blocked off, and I knew it was real. I could remember everything after that meditation session. I was like, what's going on? And then as I'm kind of freaking out about this, the entity, which, by the way, I have a better understanding of its name and everything because I've gone at the time it said, you wouldn't understand my name. Don't worry about it. Just call me something you're familiar with. And Laird popped into my head. And, you know, Laird was one of my favorite cousins when I was growing up. I lost touch with. But I think that's why the name Laird attached itself to this entity. But I also have a brand new understanding of this whole experience now. At least at this moment, but I'll get to that. And so anyway, Laird, I'll call him, this entity of mine shows up, blue light emanating. I kind of get a little bit more of a sense of that with this being is like a blue tall being, but I still can't see anything, and I'm getting this beautiful love feeling and communication. And so we begin another little chat. And I think I asked, you know, who are you? Where do you come from? What are you doing? What are you? And this is the answer that I remember at this point. and I always have a new, the more I go over this and the more I talk to people about this experience, the more different I feel about it. It changes. My understanding and perception kind of grows on it and evolves. But we had a conversation, and I asked, where are you from? What do you do? Who are you? And the being said, we seed Christ consciousness across the galaxy. Oh, we help expand people to Christ consciousness, or something along those lines. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And he started showing me these images of like the galaxy and things of that nature, and then I remember opening my eyes, and I could still, like, I was still deep in meditation. I was still in communication with this entity, but I could open my eyes and see the bathroom around me. Everything had this weird shine to it, and then I closed my eyes, and it's like all of a sudden I can see space, and I'm like, well, what's going on? Just, I saw like stars and stuff, and open my eyes, bathroom's back, I close my eyes again, and then it's space, but it's through these huge windows. And I'm looking around, and there's this like kind of bluish gray surroundings and floor. Everything's the same color, very sterile looking. And the enormous windows looking out into space, and that's all I see at the time. And there was like different levels. There was like a ground level, a middle level, a higher level, and it was like all circular all the way around me, and enormous windows, all just, you know, mostly you could just see windows out into space. And I open my eyes, I'm back in my bathroom, close my eyes, I'm like, is this a freaking spaceship that I'm on? What's going on? And all of a sudden, I can start to feel like a lot of more of this feeling of love surrounding me, and it feels like I can tell it's from different beings. If for some reason I can tell this love is coming from this being, this love is coming from a different being over here, and all of a sudden they start to appear etherically, and I can see them, you know, in my mind's eye. I can see what they look like. I open my eyes, I'm just in my bathroom, a little haziness everywhere. I close my eyes, I can see these beings showing up, etheric little spiritual looking dudes, but some of them are animals, some of them are very strange looking, some of them are like hairy, just like different little creature, etheric creatures, and they're sending me love. And a little frog man starts talking to me, and just he welcomes me and asks me if I accept this task. It's super fantastic, and I started crying, and like it was the most extraordinary experience I've ever had. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Is this real? And after a while of, you know, this talking with these beings and me accepting, I guess, my earthly task they asked me about, and I accepted, because this was pretty amazing. I don't think there was anything negative about this experience at all. These beings were, I don't think anything that was malevolent could send you feelings like that and have this type of message for you. But after the whole thing was over, that I was getting these amazing downloads all day. You need to read this. You need to look into this. Go do this. Do this. Quit your job. You know, that kept popping in there. Quit your job. You know, and I'm like, fuck, I can't quit my job. I'm making like $60,000, $70,000.
And then move halfway across the country.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm going to quit AA, a very nice paying job, and, you know, do this where I'm making, at the time, about $300-$400 a month off the podcast, as opposed to maybe $60,000-$70,000 a year, okay? So I have this is pounding in my head, but at the same time, I hate my job. I loathe my job. I didn't like the people I worked with. I didn't like the feelings I got when I was at work, and it increased after that. I became more sensitive to energy, people's feelings, even sometimes people's thoughts. It opened up somehow, and I became more empathic, and I could sense things, and I found out that I could even manipulate things and manifest things at times, but only if I was doing it in a positive way and, yeah, you know, not in a selfish way, and for the right reasons. And I, you know, kind of embraced that and said, all right, so I need to apparently quit my job. Well, let me finish this contact experience. It happened one more day. The third day it happened, I got sick and I wanted I was like, this is real, but I need more proof. I'm an asshole, you know? I don't know. So I was like, I got sick. I accidentally ate the wrong thing, and I'm like in the worst pain ever, and I have stomach problems. Sometimes go to the hospital because of it. Not anymore, but I used to. And I'm like, all right, guys, if this is real, y'all come here and heal me or something. I was, you know, I don't know. I was in pain, and I was kind of yelling at him. And Lair shows up, this beautiful feeling of love. He's like, you know you can do that for yourself. As soon as he said that, I'm feeling this amazing feeling of love. The pain is gone. Everything's gone immediately, and that's never happened. And I was like, all right, so there's something. I got to accept this. This is something real. This is real. So I had to pursue what these things were, what this was telling me to do, and I did. And it was like kind of one of those, if you build it, they will come things. At the time, I had my producer and occasional co-host, Corey Hughes. He came live with me, and we were in Louisiana at the time. I was still doing my shitty job, and the show was just barely scraping a few, you know, $100 a month by, and I was like, you know what? Something's telling me to just quit and go somewhere better. I hated it in there in Louisiana. I was like, screw it. I took out my life savings, which was not that much, and we just took off to here, where I'm at now in Colorado, and just started doing the show, hammering out episodes, like, daily. I would do maybe two or three episodes a week before, because of my day job, and now I just threw myself into it, and just was, we struggled for a while. We had to ask for donations, and it did for, you know, there was a couple of weeks and months there where it looked like we wouldn't be able to do this and we would have to give up and get some day jobs, you know, go and flip burgers or something. But one day it just happened. We looked at our revenue and it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to be able to pay our rent. And we're going to be able to actually have food the next month. And, you know, things just kept getting a little better because I think I did what I was supposed to do with the universe, with myself, with these guides was asking me to do. And that's the understanding that I've come to about who and what I was talking to. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily aliens, not necessarily extraterrestrial beings from a different planet, or even necessarily from a different dimension. I believe that I was talking to either my higher self and my spirit guides, or my future self and spirit guides, or a combination of both, or all of the above, or none of the above. I'm still not going to say for sure. I know what it is, but that's where I'm leaning towards right now, is my inner self. My guides were trying to push me because I was miserable, and I knew I was supposed to do something with this show, and they had a conversation with me. They kicked me in the ass to get me going, and I completely believe that it's, you know, we're all connected. Everything in this universe is connected. So even though it was me, it was still something other than myself telling me to do this as well. It's not just me. It's my connection to Source. It's my connection to, I believe there are angels. I believe we have spirit guides. I believe there are other entities that have our back, that are with us at all times, that if we're not going the right direction, they're going to manifest in some way to try and get us to go in that direction, and it's our choice after that. If we choose to do it, great. If we don't, and we might not see what we want. So I think that's what happened, and I think that it manifests different ways for different people, and people that seek it, people that seek the experience will experience it easier, and people that fight it and don't want to go along with the flow, if you know what I mean.